Good evening, everyone, and hello. You're listening to Revision Media at revisionmedia.org. Today is Wednesday, January 13, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Arcane Semantics. Well, it's been quite an interesting week, to say the least. I'd been looking over a lot of videos and eyewitness accounts from the rally on January 6th, and then I checked out a little glimpse of what the corporate media is spinning on it. And it's just fascinating, the discrepancy between the two. Domestic terrorists, they're saying. They're using the word assault now. The assault on the Capitol and U.S. democracy. It's just a complete clown show out there. CNN had posted most wanted lists, basically. Seen at the insurrection, conspiracy groups, extremists, and fringe movements. Of course, they mentioned the horned shaman, a QAnon shaman, some call him. His acting name is Jake Angeli, and then his legal name is Jacob Anthony Chansley. This guy has previously been spotted at and photographed. I have photos myself of him at a BLM rally, for example, this summer in Arizona. And then he was at a climate activism event in the past two summers ago. But we have his acting info posted online, screenshots of that as well. Jake Angeli, his acting name, and his stats for gigs. So then we have some shady characters from the media darling circles of the alt-right, namely one Baked Alaska, Tim Gianni, as his name goes by Baked Alaska, and he had, well, even going back to Charlottesville, you know, he had a lot of suspicious doings and aspects about his past and his connections, how he's always in the right place at the right time. Again, one of these media darlings. Kind of like Richard Spencer, or just one of these other people who just wound up, you know, in our face. Matthew Heinbach, you know, this socialist, national Bolshevik, Nat Bol type. But Baked Alaska, he comes off as more like conservative slash border soft right, you know, not really the, but a lot of these guys are kind of like that. I don't criticize everyone for what they have to contribute. I mean, some people, you know, although they might be a little soft in where they go and reinforce some narratives where I suspect they know better. I mean, people like Ramsey Paul still do good work, but he's part of the same circle of people who will be around this Baked Alaska. But not everyone is a Fed or paid by the Fed. Just noticed a report recently, the FBI released about using Satanism to infiltrate far right groups, far right activist groups. I can't help but think of our Red Ice posse friend Styx, And it's like, what's he doing over there? That seems pretty Jewish. I throw this Satanist guy in with the trads. Try to act like everything's kosher. But Baked Alaska, of course, he was all over Pelosi's office and filming throughout. I caught a lot of his videos, including some prior to the event, but when they're streaming in the office with all these other people, many of whom seem very suspicious, like this let's see, another one from the CNN's most wanted list here. This supposed firearms guy, a pro-gun rights group leader, Richard Bigot Barnett. They show him sitting in, I think it was Pelosi's chair, and I don't know, there was a lot of grandstanding by some of these people. Like this guy filmed as he's coming out of the building, like, oh, nothing's going on in there. This one with this American flag shirt walking down the hallways inside for some of the major film crews as well. Wherever they popped out of nowhere at the right time. But looks like a total agent, total Fed, screaming about you want it, you got it, talking about violent actions. And again, with the backwards Make America Great Again red hat, which is a symbol of these guys who were undercover there. Another one outside at the barricades, one that tried to seem convincing of like a little brouhaha between the people at the fence and the police before, well, barricades before they passed them. He turned his hat around right before he started getting aggressive with the barriers, almost as a sign to these guys, hey, let's try to make this convincing, but I'm one of them, and this is one of the places we're about to breach points and times. But I mean, we saw a wide variety of barricades being opened. Little or no resistance from the security, and then they just start, walking in the direction all the crowd is about to move in. Like the security's like, oh, well, pretty much. Other videos where you blatantly have security, still about 15 feet or more from the barricades inside them, once they're opened, waving the people in. Come on, come on. With his hand doing big wave motions with his entire arm. I have that footage as well. There's no explaining something like that. And then as far as getting into the actual building, getting into the doors, that seemed like they were just let in. Some guy pounding around a flag. Obviously not something a Trump type would do, use a flag as a weapon. And the guy's breaking the glass who went up to the scaffolding initially on the building. They were spotted with high-tech professional glass breaking instruments for breaking high impact glass, you know, these special like spike hammer, whatever, glass breaking devices that, you know, it's pretty pricey and not something that just anyone's going to have on them at a rally. Thinking they're going to wind up one of the guys who's in the right place at the right time to need such a thing. Another indication of what's really going on, of course. But, yeah, this Richard Barnett from Arkansas, a big O, a pro-rights gun leader, he's suspicious as well, just like the QAnon horned shaman. And I mentioned Baked Alaska, Tim Gianni. They refer to him as a far-right activist. And then, oh, another one CNN had prominently displayed was one of the Proud Boys from the Hawaii chapter, no less. Nick Ox, O-C-H-S. They're saying founder, Proud Boys Hawaii. FBI asking public for help, identifying domestic terrorists. I think I heard like of a list of around 300. They allegedly have about 150 of those already in custody. Of course, they need to make an example. And a huge discrepancy from how any BLM are dealt with this past year had been dealt with. It's just ridiculous and on display for everyone to see. On that note, you have John Sullivan. Now, he's the founder of the far-left organization Insurgents USA. Don't really have it ready to go right this second, but I have this video of him cursing while threatening Trump with violence on August 29th, 2020, filmed in Salt Lake City, Utah, in front of a crowd of people. He's given the mic. I don't know what was going on. Seemed like a music, like variety, propaganda sort of thing. But he's going on and on about how, you know, forget about the legal process. We have to go in there and get Trump now, pull him out. You know, we're tired of this curse, 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 inciting all this violence against the right and Trump supporters in general, John Sullivan. So BLM affiliate group, use BLM, and leader of, again, this Insurgents USA. And they had flyers up before the event of the 6th and online at their website, insurgentsusa.com. Kick the fascists out of D.C. January 6th, 2021. Fighting for our rights. And they put time 11 a.m., location Washington Monument. And so they were trying to recruit, you know, all of these paid provocateurs prior to the event. And we have footage of four, some are saying five, the guy in the video himself, he's showing from his own cell phone. So you have a cell phone video of another person's cell phone video, showing four white shuttle buses allegedly filled with undercover Antifa police escort in front and in back, like three in front and then two more police cars behind them. You have to figure, well, some of the people there were walking around interacting and then came back and evidently tipped them off. Yeah, those guys are Antifa. Those aren't MAGA people, but it's very curious. Yeah, if they were just Trump people. Why would police be escorting them? So I'm inclined to see that as potential evidence as well. And you have the bearded Philadelphia Antifa guy with his other Antifa buddy inside the Capitol alongside the horned shaman and a few of the others who stood for a lot of amazing photo ops with the press, the corporate media, allowing them time to get there and do some nice shots of them with their high quality cameras. It's just ridiculous. But you have this guy, a lot of people point out his hammer and sickle communist tattoo on his hand. This bearded, long-haired Antifa Philly guy. And yeah, he's on PhillyAntifa.org website, along with the other gentleman who's alongside him with the short beard and glasses and more like curly hair. I don't know if he's Spanish or maybe Mexican, Puerto Rican even, but his friend. And they're both pictured on the PhillyAntifa.org website at events for the Antifa, that chapter in Philadelphia as well. I have all those photos. These are all circulating. I mean, it's no secret. We have the video of a confessor, a paid Capitol Hill troublemaker, confessing. He says he can't tell you who paid him, but it was an organized operation, basically. And he got a little bruised up, was inclined to confess on video after the fact, a few hours later that night. Was a young white guy, probably mid-20s, could be even very late teens. I couldn't say for sure. I'd guess early 20s. But I don't even think talking about the woman who died is that relevant, but it is fascinating, you know. We have all this crime, violence, murder, arson, looting, rioting the whole summer, all across the nation, because of George Floyd, a criminal resisting to police, okay, who wound up, well, I mean, how he even died and when he died, at the scene or at the hospital, it's not even the issue. I mean, this guy was a scumbag, all right? I mean, he, at one point in his criminal career, pointed a gun into a pregnant woman's stomach when he was robbing her home. So, I mean, and the black world and the corporate media and the politicians of the leftists, they all go crazy bowing down to this scumbag all year, okay, with all this crime, and they don't even acknowledge it as riots or an assault on anything. No, they're justified protests. Kamala Harris, this past year, she said that they're a movement and they have to continue. But then we have this, an officer shoots. When we didn't have police killing anyone, any of these black criminals all summer, all these rioters, violent criminals, everything. But we have policemen shooting a white woman who's a military vet. There's no outrage for that. No, there's instead domestic terrorist label for all in attendance and the president, current standing president of the United States, just for suggesting people assemble at Capitol Hill for justified grievances. But corporate media will never say that. Baseless claims of election fraud. Yeah, you know, the evidence is never allowed in court, never discussed on corporate media, so it can be referred to as baseless. You know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But, so all these people, paid provocateurs, actors, and the like, BLM, Antifa, and the Insurgents USA founder, John Sullivan, he was the one actually filming this woman getting shot. What are the odds of that? And he is out. He's walking, all right? They're not putting him in jail for 10 years. Everyone else is getting charged with federal crimes. But the black guy, all right, from BLM and Insurgents USA, who's anti-Trump, who just happened to be in the Capitol building, but, oh, no. FBI confirms no Antifa here, no funny business here. It was just all Trump people who made an assault on the Capitol. No weapons, but it was an assault. And, yeah, it was an attempted insurrection by unarmed. mostly deplorable protesters. I don't know. So, and that's where we're at with this. All the evidence on display. I noticed a lot of good comparisons, like out of Vox, from previous riots in the past, which were pro-leftist riots, basically. And at times, I mean, this was going back to even 2016, they were willing to refer to them as riots. You know, not like 2020 BLM clown world, where it was mostly peaceful protests in their language. But a little further back, even using that word, glorifying anything from the left, riots are destructive, dangerous, and scary, but can lead to serious social reforms. To prevent more violent uprisings and protests, we need to take their causes seriously. This was Vox, September 22nd, 2016. All right, now we have Vox, January 6th, 2021. And regarding MAGA people on the 6th here, every person who forced their way into the Capitol should be arrested. Lock them all up. End of headline. So there you have the double standard once again on full display. And of course there were larger lists released of most wanted suspects the DC police are looking for to charge with crimes. Well, they don't have names to all of them on the larger lists. You just have a lot of faces. I have one here with 36, like slim photos, slim and tall photos compiled. And I'm looking at most of these characters, and yeah, most of these don't look like real Trump supporters. I'm sorry. most of these people look like they are. They're definite shills, trolls, Antifa feds. But a few on here, you know, they'll find the occasional eccentric who didn't need to buy his outfit earlier that day. But now they're going to be doing this more. I mean, they're talking about all these armed protests at capital of all these major cities coming up during this next week. And many are also pointing out, and I agree, that if anything happens, it's not likely to be Trump supporters, but paid provocateurs, controlled opposition, false flag, crisis actor type situations. It's interesting how Biden wants to come after the guns hard. How's that going to work out for the NFAC? You know, the Not Fucking Around Coalition, this black militia group. You know, they had to have that recently because of, well, you know, the woke police out there, politically correct crowd. They have to white or blackwash history, but also your perception of everything. You know, every inventor, every great leader, thinker, noble, community contributor, sacrificing his time and genius. That was, of course, people of color, who are the greatest heroes. So, of course, we need a black militia because what you never saw that in the past. You hear about blacks, you hear about crime, you hear about these militias. It's always white people, but they're trying to demonize them. They're like, okay, well, we have to start shaping this a bit differently. So they come up with the NFAC, you know, probably straight out of Soros's Open Society Foundation that funded it. And most of these guys don't even know how to handle their weapons. There were a lot of misfirings, accidental shootings during the demonstrations and events these people were at, because most of them didn't even know how to handle the weapon in front of them, which they still give them loaded, which is pretty ridiculous. But there were a lot of shakedowns. I remember they were just stopping white people in the middle of the road in their small town or whatever. Hey, no, you need to pay a white tax if you want to pass by here today. You know, you want to keep going on your journey peacefully. And all these black guys with rifles, what would you do? You know, you're probably there with your wife or your granddaughter or son, daughter, something. I mean, these guys are slime balls. But yeah, so I don't know how that's going to work out. Are they going to have to dump the whole black militia thing because of Biden's new gun program? Or is that going to remain as a controlled opposition, anti-white supremacy enforcement unit? Or perhaps they'll be deputized by Biden and Harris as a social justice warrior, a reparations officers or something. So we know it's been completely designed to turn on Trump, his supporters, totally change the narrative, give an excuse to disregard, when counting electoral votes, all the objections, the six states with separate sets of electors having been sent, all of the contesting can just be thrown out the window. Not to mention a 20,000-page domestic terrorism bill, which was all ready to go. Wow, look at that. And yeah, this is perfect. Shaping it like Charlottesville, modus operandi slash 9/11 problem reaction solution with the Patriot Act. And then we have a lot of just easy ways of brushing other creeping opposition to big tech under the table, even just in terms of publishers. And just changing the narrative to this new domestic terrorism censorship focus. Get behind Twitter and Facebook. So we all know about how, well, once Trump left Twitter, he went to Parler. Parler got attacked by Amazon. Amazon happened to be where they had their servers. Turns out 60%, or I'm sorry, is it 40%? Yeah, 40% of what is out there is on Amazon servers. I didn't realize they had that big of a investment in domain website servers, but evidently they do. And of course, Apple and Google, in terms of the smartphone applications, got behind them too. So Parler was lost their domain, and for future, you can't find them for smartphone software programs, apps in the App Store for Google Play for Android, of course, the Apple App Store for iPhone. All teaming up, cracking down. And of course, Google is also YouTube, so everyone in lockstep, right behind Twitter and Facebook's decisions. Facebook, at least till after the presidency, is keeping Trump out of his account, suspending it. Twitter says indefinitely. And yeah, I don't think there's any hope of Trump to get back in there. Or would he want to? Should he want to? His followers are so disgusted with both of those platforms. It's a huge pushback with their stocks. I don't know if I have time to get to that. The publisher thing, though, regarding the push on big tech. Have a quote here. After witnessing the disturbing, deadly insurrection that took place on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., Simon and Schuster has decided to cancel publication of Senator Josh Hawley's forthcoming book, The Tyranny of Big Tech. We did not come to this decision lightly. As a publisher, it will always be our mission to amplify a variety of voices and viewpoints. At the same time, we take seriously our larger public responsibility as citizens and cannot support Senator Hawley after his role in what became a dangerous threat to our democracy and freedom. And if you dry that one out, you can fertilize the lawn quite efficiently. So, this was all a Hegelian sort of operation, problem, reaction, solution, Hegelian dialectic. And yet it's going to be interesting how things play out, because a lot of people, as I say, they're pretty fed up with big tech. And it's not just we Holocaust deniers anymore, who are getting shunned. Of course, we've been dealing with this for years, how to work around these censoring platforms to try to communicate, network, and get information and links out there, going to alternative platforms, dealing with the censorship, knowing how much our country's already fallen, our free speech has already deteriorated. But for a lot of these Trump fans, this is all new to them. And they thought that, the country just started getting corrupt a little while back or something. So it's to me only going to benefit our cause with the amazing influx of people to Gab. I forget the numbers. Were they claiming like 70 million new people on Gab? I mean, that's just insane. Their servers are going nuts right now. It's very hard to log on, but finally, maybe it'll be more worthwhile. I've been there for a few years, and there's a lot of good, hardcore people I'm aware of, colleagues and just people I'm aware of. I've been on Gab posting for quite a bit, and there isn't much censorship of any of the taboo topics. So, MAGA people, Trump supporters, you're about to get a good dose of reality compared to what gets by on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, a lot of this does with some, but it all depends on who you're friends with and On Facebook, you kind of scrutinize people more, and people wind up staying in their own circles due to a combination of algorithms and their own seeking out of what they know and are comfortable with. It's a lot easier to just wind up with a huge amount of people you follow and or follow you because you liked something they posted or reposted. There's not too much of a profile to even rule people out, which is a good thing for Gab and what we want to get out there. You know, World War II revisionism, the whole Jewish power structure, Jewish supremacy, the anti-white agenda, white genocide. It's going to be a good thing. And Gab, it's interesting. Earlier, they had a note that like 65% of their monthly expenses had already been covered. In less than a day, they drew that back to crank that back to only 14% of their monthly. They're realizing just how much of an overload their servers are getting by this point, and like, hey, no, we need a lot more dough just to handle the load. Because there's so much downtime at the moment and apology messages on the screen and all that, but it could work out quite well for them, you know, as long as they get this worked out to handle the increase in their need for bandwidth and accessibility. Not really bandwidth, just servers for that accessibility. But it will wake up a lot of people. It'll be a good thing. As far as the stocks I was talking about, it's a little curious. I mean, the amount we've had some drop as a result of this has been pretty severe. Like over at Twitter, over at Facebook, Twitter lost 5 billion on Monday. Facebook since Friday, 33 billion 600 million that they were down. So there's a reaction for you. That's the people talking with their cyber feet. Moseying on over to alternative platforms, right? And that's the best way to do it. Take away their audience, their advertisers, their stock. It's not as important as the power and influence to them, at least in the current short term. And if you can just get rid of most of their audience, this is the best thing yet, you know, that has done that by far in a single move. Ron Paul had a really good article discussing a lot of these things. It wasn't too long. You know, it covered a lot of good points, and we've already had some people quoting it when he just put it out the other day. But he refers to it, entitles it as "The War on Terror Comes Home." And I was just mentioning the Patriot Act and how this is, well, this is Charlottesville 2.0 fused with the Patriot Act 2.0. And I don't make either of those comparisons, accusations lightly. At spot on is what we're dealing with here. Joe Biden has claimed multiple times, folks, to be the author of the original Patriot Act. A lot of people might not be aware of that. He's been quoted many times saying it was based entirely on a bill he proposed in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. And so then when 9/11 came along, they were all ready to implement all of that. Now, this article again from Ron Paul, I want to get to here. The War on Terror comes home. Last week's massive social purge, social media purge, starting with President Trump's permanent ban from Twitter and other outlets, was shocking and chilling, particularly to those of us who value free expression and the free exchange of ideas. The justifications given for the silencing of wide swaths of public opinion made no sense, and the process was anything but transparent. Nowhere in President Trump's two offending tweets, for example, was a call for violence expressed explicitly or implicitly. It was a classic example of sentence first, verdict later. Many Americans viewed this assault on social media accounts as a liberal or Democrat attack on conservatives and Republicans, but they are missing the point. The narrowing of allowable opinion in the virtual public square is no conspiracy against conservatives. As progressives like Glenn Greenwald have pointed out, this is a wider assault on any opinion that veers from the acceptable parameters of the mainstream elite, which is made up of both Democrats and Republicans. Yes, this is partly an attempt to erase the Trump movement from the pages of history, but it is also an attempt to silence any criticism of the emerging political consensus in the coming Biden era that may come from progressive or anti-war circles. After all, a look at Biden's incoming, quote, experts, unquote, shows that they will be the same failed neoconservative interventionists who gave us weekly kill lists, endless drone attacks and coups overseas, and even U.S. government's killing of American citizens abroad. Progressives who complain about this, quote, back to the future, unquote, foreign policy are also sure to find their voices silenced. Those who continue to argue that the social media companies are purely private ventures, acting independent of U.S. government interests, are ignoring reality. The corporatist merger of, quote, private, unquote, U.S. social media companies with U.S. government foreign policy goals has a long history and is deeply steeped in the hyper-interventionism of the Obama-Biden era. Big tech long ago partnered with the Obama-Biden-Clinton State Department to lend their tools to U.S., quote, soft power, unquote, goals overseas. Whether it was ongoing regime change attempts against Iran, the 2009 coup in Honduras, the disastrous U.S.-led coup in Ukraine, quote-unquote Arab Spring, the destruction of Syria and Libya, and so many more. The big U.S. tech firms were happy to partner up with the State Department and U.S. intelligence to provide the tools to empower those the U.S. wanted to seize power and to silence those out of favor. In short, U.S. government elites have been partnering with, quote, big tech, unquote, overseas for years to decide who has the right to speak and who must be silenced. What has changed now is that this deployment of, quote, soft power, unquote, in the service of Washington's hard power has come home to roost. So what's to be done? Even pro-free speech alternative social media outlets are under attack from the big tech government Leviathan. There are no easy solutions, but we must think back to the dissidents in the era of Soviet tyranny. They had no internet. They had no social media. They had no ability to communicate with thousands and millions of like-minded freedom lovers. Yet they use incredible creativity in the face of incredible adversity to continue pushing their ideas. Because no army, not even big tech partnered with big government, can stop an idea whose time has come, and liberty is that idea. We must move forward with creativity and confidence. And that's the end of the Ron Paul article. He still has it. You know, he still has a good insight on the inner workings of this swamp in Washington. And there were, as I say, already a lot of good points made by others on his piece there. One was out of Patriot Rising, commenting on Ron Paul's, it may have been Monday as well when he wrote and put that out. I guess he was also blocked from his Facebook on Monday as well, 2 days ago, January 11th. But we had this article out of Patriot Rising yesterday, Tuesday, January 12th. The Big Chill on Speech regarding Ron Paul. On Monday, Facebook blocked former presidential candidate Ron Paul from his own page. The move came hours after a longtime congressman and libertarian hero shared an article he wrote criticizing Twitter and Facebook for banning President Donald Trump from their platforms. I guess I'll reread this briefly. They quote a bit from what I just read. Last week's massive social media purges, starting with President Trump's permanent ban from Twitter and other outlets, was shocking and chilling, particularly for those of us who value free expression and the free exchange of ideas, Paul wrote. The justifications given for the silencing of wide swaths of public opinion made no sense in the process was anything but transparent. Nowhere in President Trump's two quote-unquote offending tweets, for example, was a call for violence expressed explicitly or implicitly. It was a classic example of sentence first, verdict later. And then they go on. Paul shared the article on Facebook sometime around 10 a.m. Eastern. Hours later, on Twitter, Paul said he had been blocked by Facebook. Quote, with no explanation other than repeatedly going against our community standards. Facebook has blocked me from managing my page, Paul announced on Twitter. Quote, never have we received notice of violating community standards in the past and nowhere is the offending post identified, unquote. Paul said the only material posted to Facebook on Monday was the article previously noted, his weekly Straight Texas Talk column, which he has published every week since 1976. He's published it every week I've been around, folks. Yeah, I was born in the bicentennial. So he's been publishing this for 44 years. It's pretty good. Nothing to scoff at. And so, from his own page, he was probably on for quite a while, for that matter, just the whole idea. It goes on. The Big Chill on Speech, the question of social media censorship, a phenomenon that has grown steadily in recent years, is a thorny issue, especially for libertarians. As private companies, Twitter and Facebook have the legal right to decide who and what to allow on their platform. On the other hand, many see the cultural values of free expression and viewpoint diversity as the cornerstones of a liberal, in the classical sense, and tolerant society. For years, the media generally, and libertarians particularly, discussed how bans on controversial figures should be handled. The debate began in earnest in the summer of 2016 following the ban of Milo Yiannopoulos, a right-leaning provocateur who had gained an immense following on social media. Many at the time were shocked to see Yiannopoulos banned following a spat with actress Leslie Jones, but there was general agreement in many circles that Twitter, while wrong on principle, was within its rights. Quote, Twitter is a private company. It can set its own speech policies, and those policies don't have to be fair. There's no universal human right to own a Twitter account, unquote. Reasons Robbie Soav pointed out. Quote, but if Twitter wants to live up to its stated commitment to maintaining a public forum where provocative, controversial, and even occasionally rude or hurtful speech is tolerated, then it should consider restoring Yiannopoulos' profile, unquote. So that was 2016, and then it goes on. 2 years later, meaning 2018, a similar conversation took place with Alex Jones, the far-right radio show host and conspiracy theorist, who ultimately found himself banned by Twitter and Facebook. The responses were not surprising. Many left-leaning pundits cheered the move, pointing out Jones was not entitled to First Amendment protection, since Twitter and Facebook were private companies. Quote, this move is an important step toward setting reasonable and badly needed precedent around free speech, unquote, wrote Washington Post columnist Christine Emba. Quote, companies don't have to defend the indefensible. Alex Jones can do that all on his own, unquote. The right, however, warned the bans were unlikely to end with Jones. Quote, next, they're coming for you, unquote. Jesse Kelly, wrote in The Federalist. Quote, their goal is to silence dissenting voices. Look down at where you're standing at this very moment. That is where you draw your line in the sand. Do not give them another inch, unquote. The slippery slope of restricting speech. The censorship was never going to end with Alex Jones and Milo Yiannopoulos, of course. Still, the eagerness with which big tech is silencing dissent might have surprised even those who warned it would not end with Jones. Banning the President of the United States was shocking. Banning Ron Paul is horrifying. It is senseless. Paul is a man of principle and peace. He is 85 and is not active in politics. Paul does not incite violence and is a threat to no one. How did we go from banning Alex Jones to Ron Paul in the space of 2 years? The answer is not hard to find. It lies in a principle abandoned. Quote, once you start making exceptions to a universal principle, general rule, you begin to undermine it. It becomes easier to make further exceptions, unquote. FEE's Dan Sanchez points out in 2017, quote, if the hate speech of Nazis are to be restricted, Why not the hate speech of traditionalist conservatives? If the violent, seditious rhetoric of Nazis is too dangerous to allow, why should the violent, seditious rhetoric of communists be tolerated, or any fundamental criticism of the government? Unquote. Indeed. Of course, Twitter and Facebook have long since abandoned the notion they are free speech platforms. They openly state it's their mission to keep users, quote, safe, unquote, which they do by enforcing, quote, rules, unquote, and community standards, when and how they choose. This mission was flawed to begin with. I don't need Facebook or Twitter to protect me from ideas or discussion. Thank you very much. And I suspect most individuals would offer similar sentiments. But by booting Ron Paul, it becomes clear that, quote, safety, unquote, is not the true goal of big tech. I suspect it never was. The Paul's deplatforming should anger and perhaps even frighten us. The widespread silencing of dissent is a serious matter. There's no denying that. And matters are further complicated by the fact that Amazon, Google, and Apple have taken steps that will hinder social media platforms competing with Facebook and Twitter. But what should be done? As it happens, Paul himself asked this very question in the column that apparently led to his Facebook exile. So what is to be done? Even pro-free speech alternative social media outlets are under attack from the big tech slash government leviathan. There are no easy solutions. But we must think back to the dissidents in the era of Soviet tyranny, Paul wrote. And again, folks, he continued, and they quote him again from what I read earlier. It's a great article. They had no internet. They had no social media. They had no ability to communicate with thousands and millions of like-minded freedom lovers. Yet they used incredible creativity in the face of incredible adversity to continue pushing their ideas, because no army, not even big tech partnered with big government, can stop an idea whose time has come. And liberty is that idea. We must move forward with creativity and confidence. Liberty is indeed the idea. And if we're patient, I suspect the market will soon offer a genuine alternative. More on that later. That may soon make Facebook and Twitter regret their authoritarian impulses. Now I can give you more on that right now, folks. A little taste of what may be in our future. I mean, there was a Trump account on clouthub.com earlier this week. And Trump is on there saying he's going to be creating his own platform. We will be creating our own platform shortly. He says, stay tuned for details. We will not be silenced. So, we'll see. That'll be interesting. You know, a Trump social media network. Be very curious. And that was up, was still up yesterday at least. I don't, seemed like they were messing with it after that already. You know, after Parler, they got to this one. Allegedly, I'm seeing articles claiming Kushner urged Trump not to be on Parler or Gab. It seems like he was on Gab. Last I checked. But now I'm seeing these articles. I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to get people to not even go and look for him, even on some he may be on. Either way, it's a lot to think about, especially from what Dr. Paul points out there. But this Patriot Act 2.0, 20,000 pages of legislation, this new domestic terrorism bill, all ready to go. And they just needed their false flag. And, yeah, this is now their big focus. You know, they had the Council on Foreign Relations having an interview within 24 hours of the incident. Okay, the Council on Foreign Relations had an interview with a counterterrorism. Well, they're calling this person an alleged counterterrorism and national security expert. And he argues that people who stormed the Capitol, these people were domestic terrorists. And so that's the buzzword everyone was given, you know, for the BLM all summer, mostly peaceful protests, folks. Now it's domestic terrorism, you know, domestic terrorists. That's why ABC has an article about how domestic terrorism and hate crimes were a growing problem in America. They had that out a week before the riots. The riot. I'm not going to call it a riot. Okay. A week before the election theft protest. Okay. On the electoral vote counting January 6th. Now, they do have another name for it. Was it like Save the Republic or I forget offhand what they, well, I'm on air. It's not really a good time. The Trump rally, January 6th Trump rally in general. You know, a week before that, ABC has this article, Domestic Terrorism and Hate Crimes. But they'd been planning this for quite a while. They have one source pointing out how Georgetown University, which is a well-known spook college, published an article, a paper, in September 2020 titled "The Need for a Specific Law Against Domestic Terrorism," and op-ed pieces bemoaning the lack of such a law. I mean, these have been dotted all through the press going back to last summer, even late 2019. But we just had one published the other day where a senior FBI official says more could have been done if there had been a specific law outlawing domestic terrorism. But of course, it's only going to qualify if it's white supremacy, you know. It'll never be domestic terrorism if it's people of color and far-left causes. Or, you know, these Antifa and BLM white people worshipping people of color and or leftist causes. So, but, yeah, Biden, author of the original Patriot Act, to his own bragging admission. Certainly, it would include incitement and hate speech in this new bill. I would expect denialism to make an appearance, one author says as well, and be downright shocked if spreading misinformation doesn't get a mention. Don't be surprised if questioning elections or bringing democracy into disrepute is made an outright crime. And everyone is out there now laughing at us. For that matter, Putin chastises the U.S., they're saying in some of the articles, chastising the U.S. as not up to modern democratic standards, as he put it. We've had Angela Merkel in Germany. We've had Marie Le Pen in France, among many others in France, condemning this Twitter ban of the president and obvious election fraud in the way the president is being treated by a rigged kangaroo court and system. And yet it's supposed to just be okay for us to go back to business as usual. Everyone's supposed to just go back to sleep now. Nothing to see here, folks. Ignore the man behind the curtain. So, we see how much power these big tech companies have, and that this is where they're going with this whole PCR test lockdown, Agenda 21, with its public face, currently the World Economic Forum, and basically using big tech as their biggest muscle, their primary muscle for enforcing any agenda they see fit, whether be it medical industrial complex, economic engineering, demographic engineering, genocidal operations. So they're in lockstep. Amazon, Google, Apple, Facebook, Twitter, and many other companies. I mean, Trump can't even go back to being a businessman if he wants, for that matter. He's being shunned by so much of the corporate world and the banks. I mean, anyone associated with this January 6th event, the banking industry, corporations restricting hiring or firing whoever they can identify. This is like a total Stalin-esque crackdown. We have one article entitled, "Without Freedom of Speech, What is Going to Happen to America?" I like the opening line here. "It is quite ironic that many of those who are always telling us that we need diversity in our society are also some of the strongest voices against a diversity of viewpoints on social media." Isn't that the truth? But yeah, these big corporations dominate just about every aspect of our society. Collectivism. And now they want to use COVID as a way to implement digital tracking, nanotechnology, digital IDs, and roll in the social credit score along with that. You mix that with the domestic terrorism and digital currency, it's game over. You know, you're going to have to be spending your time in barter town if you want to survive, trade for a few scraps to consume and live off of. So, the only alternative to living outside of the system is destroying the system. Maybe we need a little of each. Probably the best remedy. And, you know, There's a time and place. We'll just stay frosty in these times. It's the best way to go. Parler is now suing Amazon. So we'll see how that turns out. For antitrust violation, breach of contract, and unlawful business interference. And they're asking a federal judge to order Amazon to reinstate the platform. You know. Well, what? I mean, they were hosting... I mean, they handle the domain and the servers, but do they own the website domain name? Is that it? I'm guessing Amazon. What, it was only getting leased to Parlay, and they don't want to have a new domain you have to type in. Otherwise, you know, I could recommend some good hosting companies to them if that's so. It's not just that, but yeah, 40% of servers are owned by Amazon of the web right now. It's crazy how, I mean, that shouldn't have ever been allowed until recently. We didn't allow for such monopolies. There were plenty of laws preventing such. That got whittled away in the past decade or so. Decade or two. So we had this massive purge. Trump being banned from Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and many more, including Shopify, an e-commerce platform from Canada. Turns out, though, Amazon is still selling MAGA gear. Try to figure that one out. You know, still wants those profits if you. It's not too noticed. And then, of course, the Q people are getting demonized, but that is possibly for the best. They want to associate everything into one big thing, is the problem. The way the media is trying to Charlottesville-ize. Oh, that's I guess that's a new verb we could use. The event. After getting banned on Twitter and Facebook under the pretext of his message, it could be interpreted as a call to violence by Q people. The dumbest excuse I've ever heard, this author mentions. Trump then went to Parlay, which is set to become the Republican, as in a right-wing kosher echo chamber version of Twitter. And guess what? Amazon, Parler's web hosting provider, kicked them out. And starting with today, Parler must find another company to host them. That was on the 10th that was reported. As far as the operating system market for mobile, well, I mean, you know, like I said, it's Apple, if you have an Apple, and if you have an Android, it's the Google Play App Store. So 99.9% of the OS smartphone market. It's pretty ridiculous, and then it's a slippery slope, you know. I mean, we had a Daily Stormer in 2017, making fun of the fat black counter protester antagonist died from a heart attack later that night, and really just being obese. So he makes a joke about her, and Daily Stormer is gone, 2017. But oh, they're neo-Nazis, and no one cares about. Now these days, I hear people who don't even understand anything about. Having a knowledge of the anti-white agenda, much less even being pro-white, who are talking about Daily Stormer and who's endorsing it because he's been so MAGA lately, Anglin, that a lot of people don't even realize everything that he covers, I don't think. Because I'm hearing some people who are hardly on the right who are talking about Daily Stormer and this and that, and if they ever saw The Greatest Story Never Told, you know, their jaw would drop. But, you know, we'll see where this takes things as far as the pushback. I mean, Gab's traffic has surged more than 750% in the last few days. I wanted to give more those stats on the big tech fallout. I thought I already had those. Well, I mentioned to you, yeah, more or less. I don't know if you need more details. I mentioned Twitter being down $5 billion, Facebook losing $33 billion. Don't really need much more than that. You get the idea. But, yeah, the new buzzwords, all the corporate media has been giving them, you know, extremism, insurrectionism, domestic terrorist, assault on the D.C. Capitol. I love that title. It's accessible through the digital on-demand services. Well, we have a new normal with the focus on false PCR tests and fraudulent white supremacy claims to take your freedoms. Because if you go against any of what we say on these things, you're a domestic terrorist. And that's just the way it is. There's an interesting article I might get to next week. It's like a two-parter. And it goes into the amount AI has already been used in the past to slowly infiltrate so much around us in the internet decades which we've been living in. Big tech censorship and the use of AI and blacklists from a software engineer's point of view. Probably be covering that in the week to come, along with whatever else. Well, it'll be the night of the 20th. So, yeah, I don't know. Depending on what else there is to cover, I'll see if I have to put that off yet another week. As I have had that one on the back burner, along with some of these others I missed from last week. One just talks about how the future minority white European is already a goal for the Biden-Harris administration, and the language they use is true to that. And yet, the amount he praises the Judaic community on top of it, this guy's, I mean, this guy's a real piece of work. Always has been. Uncle Joe 2.0. Just as communist. You know, but in a blue Democrat suit. Right? Apparently the Pope told Joe Biden that the number one problem in the world today is racism. Not Christian cucks like his supposed holiness. Not priests abusing altar boys, not leaders in high places who intend an evil end for us. No, not any of these. Racism. And they say it's a good problem to have. True to form, Alzheimer's patient elect spilled the beans again. This is a guy who was against busing in the 1970s and made fun of quote-unquote dot heads who give you a Slurpee at 7-Eleven. He was once talking about how Will and Grace was created and written by big, big Jews, and how strong Jewish influence is in terms of undermining normal values. Speaking at the Jewish American Month reception once, he said Jewish values are an essential part of who Americans are. And when assessing the full scope and extent that Jews have had on revolutionizing American values, Joe Biden's considered opinion was immense. Think, Biden said. Behind of all that, I bet you 85% of those changes, whether it's in Hollywood or social media, are a consequence of Jewish leaders in the industry. Immense. That is the kind of thing that, when we say it, is anti-Semitic. When they say it, it becomes a celebration. This country is doomed. The other day, a Zoom video of Alzie Joe speaking at the Rising Tide of Color came out. The Rising Tide included Vanita Gupta and Shakedown artist Al Sharpton. It's sort of a candid snapshot of where the establishment is today. First off, he admonishes the blacks to get along with the Mexicans. Quote, not just because of African Americans, but because by 2040, this country is going to be minority white European. Unquote. Biden continued, quote, you hear me? Minority white European, and you guys are going to have to start working more with Hispanics, who make up a larger portion of the population than y'all do. Unquote. It's true. All throughout Southern California, the Mexicans are colonizing former black spaces. Heck, Compton is now 68% Mexican. And straight out of the taco stand. Blacks are having to move out to Temecula, for heaven's sake. Soon whites will be commuting to Los Angeles from Arizona. Minority white European. You hear me? Of course. From one perspective, what Biden was doing was repeating, quote, crazed and lunatic white conspiracy theories, unquote. When we say it is evidence of mental instability. But when they say it, it becomes a celebration. You hear me? But he wants to make sure that blacks and Mexicans get together and gang up on white people, which is the actual definition of intersectionality, a Jew-speak word of recent academic currency. Then Biden does a riff on white girls who burn coal. He talks about the deluge of biracial couples in commercials. It's gotten so bad lately that you might think they were selling genocide. 15 years ago, could you turn on the television and see 3 or 4 out of 7 commercials be biracial commercials? No, You could not. Though even then, the writing was on the wall. You want to know where society's going? Biden said. To the dogs, sir. And quickly, to hell in a handbasket. To Mogadishu on skids greased by Jews with the blood of little white girls. Watch entertainment. Watch the profit motive. Watch entertainment for sure to see the shape of things to come, but it's not the profit motive. It's the concerted effort to end white culture and social forms, to end white people altogether. That is something they'd pay for. Why are these commercials, so many of them, biracial? The young generation is changing. They're demanding more. They don't come with the baggage. Maybe 10, 20, 25% of them are pure racists. Who knows? Who knows indeed? But 25% pure racists is a number we can work with. So that was another Biden quote. You know, why are these commercials, so many of them biracial? 10, 20, 25% of them pure racists, who knows? But Biden being Biden, he ends his stream of semi-consciousness rap by comparing Trump voters to the KKK, reminding us all of that FBI agent who wandered too far south in Virginia and then ended up at a Walmart where he, quote, could smell the Trump voters, unquote. Biden then says that he plans to harass white people from the bully pulpit. Sounds about right. Sounds like what happens to in a minority white European nation. This country is doomed. You hear me? And that's just credited by Saxon Day out of National Vanguard. Nice piece. And you know, these other articles I may put off a bit. I don't know, a couple I just keep moving back a bit. We just have enough to cover here, and I do want to have a show that most people will digest thoroughly, be up for listening to thoroughly, you know. A lot of times 2 hours, I know, at least in the current era, a lot of people are like, I was hoping to have a, well, it's good to have a caller near the end, you know, but even then, sometimes 2 hour shows, a little long for a lot of people, hour, hour and a half, even sometimes less than an hour. I know a lot of you prefer at times, so might let it get cut here, and some of these other gender conditioning or modern NS theory topics I might save. Always want to a good bit of something for next time, right? I hear the lockdowns are having a big pushback in Poland. The Polish Highlanders are a large community stretching around 100 miles across southern Poland highlands. They're widely respected for maintaining their way of life and defying all regulations that try to cow them. And villages are opening up their businesses again and ignoring government COVID regulations. There's a nice video on that. Polish Highlanders veto lockdown. It's linked over at Activist Post, if you want to check that out. They're going crazy in the UK UK government's saying now they may only let people out once a week. And claiming that the National Health Service is at the breaking point, the government is said to be considering implementing stricter rules, including compulsory mask wearing outdoors and banning so-called extended bubbles, where people are allowed to meet one person from another household. And they're saying more chilling, however, is the revelation that cabinet ministers have privately debated preventing people from talking to each other in the street and in supermarkets, and even preventing people from leaving home more than once a week, and stalling curfews. They're saying, I'm worried about the pictures I've seen of social interactions in parks. If you have to exercise, you can go out for exercise only. People have been arrested in the park because they had tea. Like two ladies, they met in the park for a tea, said that, or drove to the park to have a tea, all right, rather than just being in walking distance. They said that collectively, cumulatively, qualified as a picnic, driving to the park for tea. And so they were fined like 200 euros or 500 euros or something. And so exercise only if you're in the park. A government source told the Daily Telegraph the current rule allowing people to meet up for one person from another household to exercise is being used as an excuse for people. This is a quote, being used as an excuse for people to go for a coffee in the park with their friends, unquote, and will likely be scrapped. The source added that the government is discussing, quote, making sure people aren't using their own creativeness to interpret the rules how they want to. Can't have that now. Oh, we have an epidemic of positive PCR tests. 94% false positive or more. Some say 96% false positive rate. As far as the averages out there. Not to mention, even if you are positive, the likelihood of you dying, you put those two factors together alone. This thing is non-existent. Where saw the spike in deaths this year? Same deaths as last year. It's just people don't die of anything anymore except COVID-19. And another story out of the UK. Chatting is banned now. In general, no chatting. No stopping for a chat if you bump into friends. Do not sit on park benches. Boris prepares to ramp up rules as he claims vaccine rollout has made people complacent about lockdown. So, a jolly old England. There you have it. The emergence of the pandemic industrial complex is what many are pointing to it as. Well, I'd say that it's just an extension of the medical industrial complex, which has just always been a conduit, a servant of big pharma, the pharmaceutical industrial complex. That's the king. And of course that umbrellas over the vaccine industry as well. So it this is nothing new, just like climate change, Agenda 21, sustainable development, Great Reset. And so, occasionally you'll see a ray of hope. EU Citizens Initiative. We'll start that over. EU Citizen Initiative calls for ban on biometric mass surveillance systems. I don't know, maybe we're finally getting people to their breaking point with the COVID, with the nanotechnology, tracking, surveillance, censorship, attack on conservatism, and attempt at white genocide. Trump is saying that the impeachment is a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics. I think it's causing tremendous anger. Trump added, "We want no violence," and his speech on the 6th was totally appropriate. "We have support probably like nobody's ever seen before." And just keep in mind, big tech is not as clean as you think. It's a lot dirtier than you ever imagined. I entitled this show, "Big Tech Saves Us from Deplorable Free Speech." So I'd like a moment of silence for big tech and all they do for us. Last week with William Rapillum as my guest, check that out in the archive if you haven't, I entitled the show without mentioning it to him during the show, but I was already promoting it as Day of Reckoning, a time when the effects of one's past mistakes or misdeeds catch up with one. Misdeeds like ever being willing to use Twitter. But come on over to Gab, folks, and while you're there, why don't you follow Richard Carey and Revision Media accounts? I know I've been on there. I've been trying to spread out more on a few more platforms as well. But definitely with the surge of people there, yeah, it's a good time for us to try to spread more. Facebook is dying and Twitter will be embers in no time, as they deserve. So let's just see. Oh yeah, another archive you might check out, you know, 2 weeks ago, Masking Science. It's a pretty good coverage I did of masks and just how much it does more harm than good, and it's just completely pseudoscience, all about conditioning, good facts to be able to use in your arsenal when you're confronted, if you're confronted in situations. But we want to pick our battles, folks, in all these matters, and at the very least, you know, conserve and focus your energies. Don't dwell in following the story of the hour, the narrative to chase for a misdirection of the hour. Of course, as much as we try to report on all this for you, I myself need to always remind myself to work toward those higher ways of helping us all as well. And sharing what I can on those points and insights. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening, being here with me. Please check me out again next week. We'll be a little more consistent again, trying to get the other shows live back online during the end of this month. Everyone's been having a lot of rough times, all things considered. Holidays, lockdowns, election fraud, domestic terrorist accusations on white society as white supremacy. But we will prevail. We will prevail, and regardless of who's in that White House after the 20th, as I say, folks, we will not allow this Bolshevism and corporatism to consume all and take away our sun our source of light and life, truth and human instinct will prevail. And that includes the guiltless appreciation of us, you know, our culture, European people, white people, and a rejection of communism and a focus on revisionism, traditionalism, and all whom great leaders before us have paved. Yeah, some will try to criticize anyone I mention, but from Napoleon to Benjamin Franklin, from Adolf Hitler to Andrew Jackson, from Donald Trump to Julian Assange. Thank you for listening, folks, and we will speak again soon. Until then, transcend the construct. Regards.